someone like Ariana Grande, who theoretically has all the ability to get help that mm-hmm. she needs, is still being failed by the systems around her.
I sometimes think that it's because there are a lot of people that still don't see eating disorders as being mental illnesses.
Yeah.
Because thinness is so celebrated mm-hmm. and upheld as being like such an achievement and an accomplishment and something that we celebrate and yeah. congratulate people on.
Yeah.
That people don't, there's like some disconnect in their brains where they're like, oh, this isn't a mental illness. This is something that we're going to give people their flowers for.
Dude, where are you? Pick up your phone. I'm going to a summer party tonight, and you're obviously invited, so call me back.
Okay, love you. Bye.
What's up, you guys, and welcome back to Emotionally Online, the weekly storm party for heart-to-hearts and hot gossip, hosted by yours truly, the one and only Maddie Drosbeck, co-hosted. Back again. You guys are cowering in the corner. Who is it going to be? Who is she going to say? It's the one, the only, Meg Ruoco,
the co-host with the co-most.
Oh, there it is. Oh. And to all of our video viewers, you may be noticing something new and awesome and different.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that we've got merch, baby.
Yeah, we do.
Right now, I'm sporting the Lover Girls Worldwide tee. Mm-hmm. And we've both got on the I Only Date Sweethearts camo trucker hats.
Mm-hmm.
There's a Lover Girl University crew neck.
Yeah.
There is some Pumpcast merch as well.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely go check it out. It's going to be linked in the description of this episode. And it'll be there. So rep the show.
Rep the show.
Show your love
to us and we'll show it back.
I got a new squishy. I'm proud to report. It looks so gross.
Guess what it used to be?
Cheese.
It
used to be one of these viral cheese squishies because I did destroy the butter one.
Yeah.
It literally got like ripped apart.
I was going to say, I actually haven't seen it around your apartment.
Yeah, no, it's gone now.
Okay.
I ruined it. And I got the cheese one. And this one's a little bit more durable than the butter one, but it is mm-hmm. so nasty, disgusting.
Were you into slime?
In video form, I tried to make it once and it went so wrong.
How?
I don't even know how to describe to you how wrong it went. It was like wet.
Oh.
I'll add in a clip. It was like, I don't know. Imagine if Squidward's nose like multiplied and you could like whip it around in your hands like nunchucks almost.
It sounds vaguely sexual.
It was really weird. Yeah. I don't know what happened. Slime is clearly not an activity for me, but I do love watching the videos of it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And I've thought on multiple occasions about buying slime, but then I was like, you're 29. You are 29 years old. You cannot buy slime.
But you can buy cheese.
But I can buy cheese.
Mm-hmm.
This one seems a little bit more like reasonable to me somehow.
Tactile.
Yeah, it's like, you know, it's stress ball.
Yeah.
Adults have those.
Yeah.
Adults don't usually keep like desk slime.
No.
But I'm not that we could not bring that about.
Right.
You know, we could all start getting desk slime.
This is kind of hybrid desk slime stress ball.
Yeah.
Right in that in
right in the middle
is cheese.
The desk cheese. The problem with it though is it doesn't go back to its original shape. So now it just looks like, you know, that picture of that blob with the face on it.
Yeah.
That's what it looks like now. And it's covered in cat hair. It's gross. It really is quite gross.
Yeah.
But it's helping me.
That's good.
Are you sure you don't want to touch it?
I'm good, I think. Hey, ask me again at the end of the episode. And then we'll see how I feel then.
So Love Island has started. Mm-hmm. Have you ever watched Love Island?
I was big into Love Island during COVID for many years.
Okay,
I was
nice.
Big into Love Island.
What seasons did you see?
I believe all of Love Island UK up until maybe like season 7.
Okay.
I watched it for a while.
Okay.
And then I kind of lost.
Fell off
a little bit. And then.
Well, you've seen a lot of the great ones.
Yes.
So.
Yeah.
You've done the work.
Love Island season 2, I maintain, is one of the best seasons of reality television.
Yeah.
Known to man.
Five is my favorite.
Yeah. That's a great one as well. Yeah.
God, I love Curtis Pritchard. That guy is crazy. I made him in Tamagotchi Life.
Isn't he like just bro-y online now? Is that his whole thing? I know he's like online.
I don't know. Maybe Curtis's Anton is more the one that that rings true about to me.
Okay.
He made like he's like one of those fitness people now, but he made an fucking awesome post during All Stars where he was talking about the phases of a woman's menstrual cycle and compared each cycle to one of his ex-girlfriends. It was incredible. It was truly one of the like worst posts I've ever seen, but he posted it so earnestly as like an infographic, but it was so disrespectful.
That's so sick.
He's like, this one is the luteal phase. Like, that's bananas, because one of his exes was on All Stars,
of course. Yeah,
unbelievable.
Wow, men are amazing.
Yeah,
the things that they do online and the things that they're willing to show and talk about is just so fascinating.
It's to really
me.
Beautiful. But so I've been deep in watching the ongoing season of UK, mm-hmm. and every time I watch the show, I have so many questions about logistically, like how you just share a room with 12 people for like 2 straight months.
Yeah.
I think about like even sharing a room with someone for a week, I start to be like, ooh, I need some like time and space to myself.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do it. And more specifically, I think about not being able to escape a man specifically. To be with other women is one thing. To not be able to escape a man and like rip a fart.
Yeah.
Seems horrible.
Yeah.
What are they doing in Love Island?
Right. How do they be farting?
They like probably just don't. Also, they don't have a lot of bathrooms.
Yeah.
They have like 2 bathrooms on Love Island.
That's crazy to me as someone who's also like kind of a shy pooper.
Right. I'm such a shy pooper.
Me too.
And like which is a really bad combination when you're also someone who be pooping.
Yeah.
Like constipation and I have never known each other.
No. Yeah. Not once.
No.
Mm-mm. No, I'm like such a shy pooper and I fear that. I had an experience this past week, brag alert, where someone was sleeping in my bed for a night. And I woke up in the middle of the night and I was like, I have to fart and no. I will be going into the other room to do that.
But even like I'm in the other room thinking they can hear me from the other room. I literally,
oh no, I was listening for them snoring. I was actively listening, being like, okay, they're snoring. Go.
Safe. No, I literally, I'm not kidding. If I at multiple points have been like, if I have to fart in the night, I'm going to get up and like go walk to the trash room down the hall and do it over there. Because I'm like, I just can't do it if they're here.
Mm-mm,
it really, it makes me feel such an intense amount of shame.
I
can't even explain it. I'm like, you shouldn't know me like this. It's too intimate.
It's way too intimate. I actually have a story about this that I don't think I've ever shared with you.
I'm so excited.
My senior year of high school, my junior year of high school, I was in the Illinois State Choir event, mm-hmm. which basically meant that you auditioned to like make it to the state choir. And you would go and rehearse songs for like 9 hours a day for 4 days. And then at the end of all of that, you would have this like big concert. And it was like hundreds of kids from all over the state who would perform in this concert. And every year, a few of us from my school would make it in. And it was me, one other girl, and a girl who was like my best friend. And the three of us were staying in, you know, Peoria's finest.
Of course.
Peoria's finest Marriott.
Residence Inn.
Mm-hmm. And no shade, no tea to this girl, because this was high school and it was ages ago and I'm sure she's a lovely person now.
Mm-hmm.
Back in high school, I felt so deeply uncomfortable around her. We were just kind of ops a little bit. And she was just she just had a very like uncomfortable presence.
Mm.
And so I did not poop for 4 straight days.
Oh my God.
Because the door was so thin to the bathroom and I could like see, and it was also like a frosted glass. So I could like see people walking past the door. Could not poop for 4 days. On the 4th day, I was in like our final rehearsal for this concert that we were putting on, and I felt a rumble in my stomach. And there were, again, 600 kids in this choir, yeah. I want to say. And you were not supposed to leave except during designated breaks.
Oh my God.
And I was like sitting kind of towards the back, and I was just like, it's now or never. And actually, it's only now because it's happening right
it's
now.
It's happening and I have to
go. It's leave. Happening and I have to go. And when I tell you that I went into the depths of whatever like municipal building that we were in to find the bathroom that was furthest away from the hundreds of kids that were singing so close
this
to me.
This is what a danger it was.
This is what a danger it was. And I'll tell you this, did not flush.
Oh no.
It did not flush. And I took one look at it and I went, damn, that is not my business.
That's crazy.
That's crazy. And then I just left.
I get it.
Sometimes
I would have done the same thing.
Yeah.
I don't even blame you for it.
Yeah.
I completely understand.
I was like so traumatized from the past like 72 plus hours
of
that
course.
I was just like, I have to get out of here.
You know what's so beautiful is I love when you can just acknowledge this before you go on a trip with someone.
Yeah.
Like Ashley knows that when we go on trips together, it makes me feel so much better if she'll just go on the balcony while I have to go.
Yes.
Either I'm like, it's not about you. She's like, I don't care.
Right.
I don't care if you like rip the biggest farts when you're in there possible. And I hear it. And I go, it's not about that. I know that you don't care and you're not going to judge me. It's like, I can't, my body won't let me do it to the fullest. It'll let me do it like 40%.
Yes.
And the 60% will still be inside my body.
And then I just
have to carry it around with me throughout the day. Like I need you to leave so I can fully release.
Completely. I would just after a while, I would just tell my family, I would just be like, go downstairs.
Please leave.
It will be so much quicker if you just go
downstairs.
I'm a fast pooper
right.
if you leave me alone.
No, literally, I am so quick if you are not here. If you're not here, I'll be done in 30 seconds flat.
Yeah. But if you're here,
not going to happen.
It's not happening.
And like, I can't imagine just like having even the smallest amount of a stomach issue and having to put on these teeny tiny bikinis that they make you wear in Love Island.
Well, and they eat crazy style on that show. It's like, what if you blow up the bathroom and then what, you're putting on your thong bikini right afterwards and like strutting outside to like shake your ass and like pretend you're in a grocery store or something for some fucking challenge.
And you're all like baby birding liquids to each other. And now go put back on your bikinis and be normal for the rest of the month.
It's gotta smell crazy in that villa.
Absolutely.
No shot it doesn't smell crazy.
I like wish that they would include some of that because I want to know like which one of, because obviously the men are way worse than any of the women just by default.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to know which one is like known as the stinky guy in the villa. You know?
Who's known as the little stinker.
This little stinky guy over there. Classic.
Because you know it also affects their hotness.
Completely.
Like someone could be really hot but they could smell like shit.
Oh, it's like I wonder if like anytime you've seen somebody on Love Island that's like they're attractive by all means but they're just like not clicking with the people.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm like, is it a smell thing?
What are the odds he's just stinky?
Is he just stinky?
What
like what
stinky?
What's the other option?
Right. Cuz also it's like I'm not such a like a body prude or something that like if someone's got a little odor or something like that, that's fine. You know, we're all people and like,
right.
See, sometimes you just got BO at the end of the day.
Out.
It's
like,
hot
what
out.
Can you do? You're not going to take like 5 billion showers
right.
in a day.
We're all wearing sunscreen all the time.
Also, like a normal amount of that.
Yeah.
There's like the normal amount of like, it's the end of the day and it's 90 degrees out and we've all been sweating smell. And then there's like, oh, this is a problem.
Yeah. Like
smell.
This isn't okay.
Yeah.
And I just can't imagine that like anyone is prepared to like be as hygienic as you need to be when you are in a room with 14 other people at any given time.
Also, it's like, it's such a unique situation when you're like, you're in the early stages of dating, but you're not separating ever.
Yeah.
The chance to get the ick is so much higher.
So quick.
Because there's like, you have to be like, I don't know, these people are thinking about appealing to other people constantly
yeah.
for two straight months.
It would drive me insane.
I really don't think I could last a week.
No, it would drive me absolutely insane. It falls under the category that our friends and I call too much birthday,
mm-hmm.
which is you spend too much time with somebody at the beginning of dating them, and then too quickly, like, a good thing becomes a bad thing.
Yeah.
And, like, they basically are, like, too much birthdaying to the max in Love Island.
Completely.
I also believe that Love Island is just, like, a reimagined Stanford prison experiment.
Oh, it is. Yeah. I don't know why people sign up to go on Love Island.
You're going to jail.
It's, like, honestly.
You're signing up to go to jail.
They do crazy things on that show. They are torturing
they
you.
They put them in a little box and do experiments on them.
I don't know why anyone would sign up for that.
It really scares me.
Like, when I think about going on reality TV, honestly, there's a lot of reality TV that I would do,
mm-hmm.
but I wouldn't go on a competition show.
No.
Unless I thought about for a while, I was like, I think it'd be awesome on The Circle, but right. that's literally the only competition show that I've ever seen that I was like, I think I would be good at this.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like notoriously bad at competition because if I'm not coming in first, then I like rage quit and I'm like, I get pissed and I'm like, enough. I don't even care about this stupid shit. But like, yeah, I just can't imagine. I can't imagine also. I mean, Love Island just combines a few of our least favorite things, which is like having to perform and being so sweaty all the time.
The worst.
That's just like the worst combination of everything.
Also, how come none of them ever get an extreme sunburn on Love Island?
Yeah, how much sunscreen are they putting on at any given time? Because it doesn't seem like a lot.
No. Also, I'm like, the thing is, like, when you burn easily, it like doesn't take much.
No.
You can be lathered in sunscreen yep. every 20 minutes
mm-hmm.
and you'll still burn.
Yeah.
Sincerely, it does not matter.
Yep.
I could be perfect about it and I will still have like a little bit of burn somewhere in my body.
Yes.
None of y'all were pale.
Yeah.
There's no pale bitches on the show.
I wonder if fake tan hides it easier.
Maybe.
Yeah. That's the only thing I feel like.
I've never seen someone get like burnt. I'm assuming they have like a wrangler to be on top of everyone.
Yeah.
But still.
I imagine, because I think in the earlier seasons I saw people get burnt more than in later seasons.
Yeah.
So I imagine it was something where it's like, you guys got this. And then after a while they were like, you don't got this.
Yeah.
You do not.
No. Sometimes I'll have these moments where it's like, for as much as we're like, we need more diversity in reality TV, I'm also like, leave my big bitches out of this.
Yeah.
Leave the big bitches out of this mess.
They don't need to be part of
that. Leave my girls alone.
Yeah.
They don't need to be doing all this.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, we're better than that.
Sometimes I will see people being like, oh, like put a plus size person on Love Island. And I'm like, no.
Don't. Leave us out of it.
No. The world isn't ready for it.
And I like,
if I'm being honest.
The only way, like, I would like to see it in a hypothetical world where it could be showcased and never once brought up.
Yeah.
I don't want to see a big girl on a dating show just for it to be a center point of conversation and how she's getting to know other people.
Yeah.
I want to see like big bitches on dating shows where their size is never once addressed.
Right.
But even then, the audience could not be fucking normal about it.
Never.
So even if you had a cast full of normal people, the audience would ruin how beautiful and wonderful that was
yes.
every goddamn time.
Agreed.
So for that, I say, leave my bitches out of this.
Leave my bitches out of this. Well, it's like if you're watching if anyone has watched Off Campus, the main actress on Off Campus, I've seen people on the internet call her plus size, which is fucking crazy. She just has big tits. That's it. That's literally it.
Yeah, that's so annoying. That's like so early 2000s.
So early 2000s.
I remember when I was a kid, people saying that, if you had big tits, you could never be skinny.
Yeah. And I'm like, y'all are just
this
jealous.
This was like 2009.
Yeah. I'm like, y'all are just jealous because she has heavy naturals and you don't.
Totally.
And that's fine. Been there. I've experienced that jealousy in my time as well.
It's like,
we just have to appreciate what we were born with. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, but no, that's the thing is it's like, if they're calling that lovely tiny little woman plus size just because she has big tits and they like cannot register that with their eyes. Keep our big bitches safe.
Keep our big bitches safe.
Yeah.
Keep them out of
the Majorca prison experiment.
Do not put them in the Majorca prison experiment. No, not at all.
That show is for people that I want to point and laugh at, and I would never point and laugh at one of my bitches.
Mm-mm. Never. Okay. That's also part of it. It's like I'm only rooting for them. Right. But I'm not rooting for the people on Love Island.
I don't want to root for reality TV stars.
No. No. And again, it's like the heat thing. I can't do the heat. I was telling you about my experience in heat yesterday at a music festival. I almost died.
I almost passed away.
I don't want to be dramatic, but no, I almost died.
I feel the same way. Every time I'm outside, like in the heat, in the direct sunlight, yeah. I'm like, I can't stress enough how I was not built for this.
Mm-mm. It's not my body.
Whoever built me, whoever out there said, this is what she gets. Mm-hmm. These are her traits. This is how her body is going to react in certain circumstances.
Yep.
I was meant to survive a nuclear winter.
Yep.
You know, yep. I am made to survive in insane conditions.
Mm-hmm.
I'm made to be stuck in the Arctic for long periods of time without food.
Yeah.
That's what I'm built for.
Same. Same.
To survive heat outside, desert. I'm dying within 24 hours, I think.
I was not meant to survive GovBall.
No.
I was never meant to.
Not meant to survive
body,
GovBall.
My body was not built to survive
I
GovBall.
Wasn't even meant to go camping for one single weekend.
No. No.
I can't do that.
No. My body is meant for like clomping up and down like the Scottish moors, you know, like there's always a sort of light mist that's getting me and it's like 52, you know, the sun's going down pretty soon. It'll be like 34. Like that's what my body was made for.
I'm made for sitting under a big shaded tree with apples falling directly into my palm. And I take one bite and then I roll it down.
Oh, that's
and
beautiful.
Then another one falls and I take one bite and then I roll it down.
Yeah.
And the birds are chirping.
Yeah, that's gorgeous.
That's what I'm built for.
Yeah.
And there's no men.
And that's part of it, too.
Just me and the apples.
Me and my big apple tree.
How involved are you in the D'Amelio family drama that's happening?
Not at all.
Are you aware of it?
Nope.
This has been like really getting me. Okay. I've been deep in this D'Amelio family drama.
Mm-hmm.
Here are our players. Okay. We've, of course, got Charli D'Amelio. You know her. You love her. One of the biggest TikTokers.
Totally.
We've got her sister, Dixie D'Amelio.
Yup.
Sometimes I don't want to be happy. Don't hold it against me. If I'm sad, just leave me there. Let me be sad. You might know her from that hit.
Mm-hmm.
She actually had another song that I unironically listened to all the time that I sometimes forget about and then I remember and I'm like, fuck, that was kind of a banger, wasn't it?
What? How did it go? So one of your favorites.
No, hold on. Because the second I hear it, it's going to come back to me. This is the beautiful part about music,
mm-hmm.
right? Is that you can forget a song exists.
Music is so amazing.
And then the second I hear that beat, I'm going to go, oh, I know this song. Dixie D'Amelio. No, I remember it now. Where is it? Is it gone? It was called Real Thing.
I've been looking for the real thing. Only the real thing will do. I've been looking for the real thing, only the real thing with you.
I used to play this for my sister all the time and be like, just playing my favorite artist, Dixie D'Amelio. I don't know if you've heard of her. So anyways, we've got Charli and Dixie.
Uh-huh.
Sisters.
Thanks for that context, by the way.
Yeah, just thought I wanted to really immerse you in the world.
Yeah, I feel like I'm there now.
And then we've got their parents, Heidi and Mark D'Amelio.
Sure.
Family from Connecticut. Blew up because of Charli and then Dixie as well. Dixie's the older sister.
Yep.
Okay. So here are our players. Charli blew up in 2020. The family before then is not like a public figure type family, though through my searching in all of this recent drama, I found out that her father ran for U.S. Senate in 2018.
Interesting.
For the Republican Party.
Well, and raise well, your hand if you're shocked.
Well, and who's shocked?
Yeah.
Mark D'Amelio, we got you. Okay. So
The D'Amelios had a Hulu reality show.
I
in
did
like
know this.
2022 or something. Mm-hmm. I, of course, watched it back when it was happening. Because yep. whatever's going on, trust that I'm there somehow. And it seemed like the big sort of conflict of the reality show was that, like, Charlie's, like, really struggling with fame and wasn't always feeling the most supported and was just, yeah, having a hard time in general. But the emphasis was really on, like, their family unit rather than, like, Charlie as an individual star.
Kind of Kardashian-esque.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So time passes and people pick up, I want to say end of last year, pick up on the fact that Charlie no longer follows either of her parents on Instagram.
Whoa.
So people were like, well, what happened?
Yeah.
Clearly there was some type of fallout here.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been a lot of rumors going around about it. Charlie has, of course, been on Broadway. Mm-hmm. She moved to New York. She seemed to be doing a lot better than she was when she was in, like, the LA TikTok scene of it all.
Okay.
And Demois posted, I want to say, like, last week about these rumors that Charlie has gone no contact with her parents and that she's, like, completely just, like, separate from them and they don't speak anymore.
Wow. We don't talk anymore.
And her father, Mark D'Amelio, went on live and spoke about it and also left some huge comment on the Demois post about how Charlie's being manipulated and blah, blah, blah. But the word on the street is that the reason she went no contact from her parents is because they stole millions of dollars from her accounts. Because, of course, she became famous when she was 16 years old.
Yeah.
And I guess, allegedly, they may or may not have stolen millions of dollars from her.
What do you believe?
I believe that it's true. And you know why I believe it's true? Because I think it's fucking weird when, and this happened with Addison Rae's parents too. Her father is a psycho, which I think people forget about that because that was more when Addison was in the TikTok space than she is like now as a pop singer.
Mm-hmm.
But people who, like, your kid becomes famous on social media and then you as a parent decide to make your own account and start influencing in, like, your fucking 50s.
Yep.
I think you are very weird.
Yes.
I think there is something deeply strange about that.
Yeah.
Like, if my parents one day were like, when they saw me doing well on social media, they just decided they were going to start doing it too.
Right.
I'd be like, but why though?
Yeah.
You're like a hairdresser and a recruiter.
Right.
There's no, why the fuck are you doing this?
Right.
Like, it just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
And there's something strange to me about, like, I don't know, imagining, like, your parents making social media accounts because you're famous and then going on live stream and talking to the audience like they have fans.
Yeah.
Thanks for following. Thanks for supporting, guys. We love you so much. They're like doing brand deals and shit on their pages. Like, it's just weird. Something's
it is
not
weird.
Right there to
yeah.
me.
Yeah.
But I like, I want to study. I'm fascinated by these parents of social media stars that, like, clearly have a couple screws loose.
Yeah.
And they make their own pages because I think that to me is like a signal of something bad about to happen in the near future.
Yep.
When somebody's parent starts getting in on their fame.
It's an offshoot of parents who capitalize off their children, like, from a very young age, too. It's like, I think about all those families that up and moved from California to Tennessee because there were much more lax child labor laws in Tennessee.
Yeah.
So they were able to keep and retain more of their children's, like, money and have more of a say over what their children did or did not have access to than in California.
Yeah.
And, like, parents of child stars have always, I think, been a little freaky.
Totally.
I think about also, like, Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen. Like, I'm fairly certain that they had, like, they ended up having to, I think they maybe emancipated themselves from their parents. Because similarly, I believe they were stealing money from them as well. And this is just, like, a new wave of that. And also, like, a wave where, like, there's so much less restriction around what parents can and cannot do when it comes to, like, their children's fame and fortune on social media.
Yeah.
And I agree. It's like, what in your brain makes you think that just because your child is offering something up on social media means that you have anything to offer up on social media?
Right.
What is that in your noggin it's that weird. Makes you think that?
Like, why was Heidi D'Amelio on Dancing with the Stars?
That's really strange.
Why?
That's really weird.
I just, the whole thing is bizarre to me.
It's really bizarre. Because it's like, it's just really pathetic.
I agree.
It's like you're riding on the coattails of your child's success. Mm-hmm. Yikes.
Yeah.
Mind you, also your child's success, which is like being a TikTok star.
Right.
Which, not to like bash TikTok stardom, but like, what is this foundation that we're building off of?
It's mostly nothing.
Right.
I actually love Charli D'Amelio, though.
But Dixie D'Amelio had that one song.
She had that one song, yeah. Though. The thing is that, like, in general, most of these, like, TikTok stars, like, the hype house of it all.
Right.
Look at that house. Most of them are just, like, random kids that happen to have a phone at the right time.
Right.
But then you have a couple people that genuinely are talented. I have been an Addison Rae truther since day one.
Totally.
And I do think that Charli is genuinely a talented dancer.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad she got to be on Broadway and she got to live her dream totally separate from the internet, something that her parents couldn't get in on themselves.
Yeah.
She seems to have built a separate life for herself.
Mm-hmm.
I'm happy for her, and it makes me sad to see weird parents being weird.
It is one of those things where, like, I remember when I was younger, you know, at one point saying to my mom, like, why didn't, like, we all liked acting, like, why didn't you ever take us to, like, audition for commercials
every time something. Like, those radio ads would play about, like, auditioning for Disney Channel, right? I'd be like, Mom, what are we doing?
Like, I'd be perfect for this shit. And I remember my mom being like, no fucking shot I would ever expose you to that world.
Yeah,
there's just no way that I would ever bring you into that sphere, because she was like, regular, you know, and she was like, I'm not gonna expose you, the child, to like this weird industry and like force you to perform labor, you know.
Mark said something in when he was talking about it on Live.
I mean, he seems like a real
weirdo. But he said something that made it seem like, because in his comment that he left on the Dumois post, he was like, she's being manipulated by all these people. And then when he was talking about it on the stream, it sounded like she was getting, like, sound business advice from people who were approaching this from a way that, like, really put Charli at the forefront and valued her and, like, what she has created, the money that she has made.
Yeah.
And her father saw it more as, like, oh, well, that's, like, an emotionless way to approach it.
Yeah.
This has been a family thing. Who do you think got her that phone? Who do you think housed her during all of this? Like, it's the entitlement to you know, my child did something fantastic and I did the job that I was required to do, that I signed up to do when I became a parent. Mm-hmm. And now I think I deserve something special because of it, that I'm entitled to it.
Yeah. And it's not seeing your child as like an individual person.
Yeah.
It's seeing that them as an extension of you.
Right.
Which is so egocentric and narcissistic.
Completely.
Like, that is woof. It's like, what? You bought her a phone like every other parent does. So now you're entitled to $4 million.
How about I pay you back for the phone, you fucking weirdo?
Right. Here's the $800 for the phone. Yeah, go fuck Jesus yourself. Christ. Like, what are we talking about? The thought also of just exposing anyone underage to the internet.
Yeah. I know. I've always been like, I think that there needs to be a separate internet for teenagers.
Yeah, and kids.
Yeah.
Like, teens, kids, preteens. Like, we also, I just feel like we used to have so much more access to, like, children-based internet activities.
Yeah.
Like, I would go to fucking poptropica.com.
Totally.
And bounce around on there and learn about Egypt and, like, ancient Greece.
Yeah.
But now everyone's using the same stuff and there are no restrictions against what anyone can use.
Right. Yeah.
I think the Instagram age to sign up is, like, 13.
Mm.
That's crazy.
Yeah. It's like, I feel sometimes conflicted about this stuff as someone who started making YouTube videos when I was 13.
Yeah.
Because I, like, look back on that time in my life and it, like, I have nothing but positive memories and, like,
for sure I was exposed to things that I probably shouldn't have been at a young age. Like, I'm thinking about being on Chat Roulette and Omegle and, like, seeing dick when I'm 12.
For sure.
And it's, like, some guy just, like, masturbating to middle schoolers that are on Chat Roulette. Like, that's fucked up.
Yep.
When people are, like, if you're under 18, you shouldn't get any internet access. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I don't know if I'd go that far. I just think it should be a different internet. Like, I think teenagers should be able to talk to other teenagers.
Yeah.
I think they should be able to beef with other teenagers.
Totally.
I think that, like, to totally shield them from the world and from gossip and culture and, you know, bad things that are happening. Mm-hmm. I don't know that that's helpful.
Yeah.
And it's, like, not even necessarily that, like, when you are... I mean, 13 is really young, but, like, if you're 16 or 17, it's not even that you can't handle the material that, like, say 20 somethings are talking about in, like, current events, or that it's, like, even, like, above your level of understanding. Mm-hmm. But there are weirdos on the internet.
Yeah.
It's like the rogue freaks that kind of ruin it. And for that reason, I'm like, I just think there needs to be a separate internet for people under the age of 18.
Yeah. I don't disagree.
For the most part.
My truth is that I'm always going to love a forbidden romance trope. And you guys know I love a spicy read. But what if the forbidden romance was also a cowboy romance? A hot, steamy, former pro bull rider with an employee that's slowly falling in love with him. If you're a fan of contemporary cowboy romances by authors like Bailey Hanna, Lila Sage, Elsie Silver, or Paisley Hope, you will absolutely love Taming of the Heart by Elliot Rose, which is a part of the Crimson Ridge series. Each book in the series reads as a standalone, but they all take place in the same remote small town, and they're all, of course, very spicy. Taming of the Heart is super spicy. It has very explicit sexual imagery and language throughout, which obviously is exactly what I signed up for. And it basically just drops you right into what it would be like to be hired by a ranch for the summer, except your boss is unreasonably hot. Literally looks like every fantasy and daydream you've ever had come to life. Oh, and he's already accidentally seen your favorite toy. Okay. You're the eldest daughter. You lock your heart away safely out of sight. But then boom, a former pro bull rider, much older than you, with a mustache, might I add, that makes you weak at the knees, shows up. He's the whole package. And he's luring you in with glimpses of what it might be like to let your guard down for the first time in your entire life. I know you guys are going to love it. I've been sucked in from the moment I picked it up. You can find Taming of the Heart by Elliot Rose wherever books are sold, in print and in ebook. And you can learn more by checking out Kensington Publishing at kensingtonbooks.com. The best summer pieces are always going to be the ones that you'll rewear over and over again. The ones that prioritize comfort, versatility, and are somehow right for every occasion, which is why I love Quince. They make elevated essentials using premium materials like European linen, organic cotton, and washable silk without the traditional retail markup. They're breezy, light, and perfect for the summer heat, with pieces starting at just $32. And it's not just apparel. Quince also carries beautiful 14-karat gold jewelry to add a subtle finishing touch to your look, or elevated essentials for your home as well. From bedding to bath to kitchen essentials and furniture, I actually just picked up some throw pillow covers from them, which is nice because it easily allows me to switch up some of the styles of pillows I already have in my home instead of buying a billion throw pillows that I just don't have the space for in my apartment. And not only are they gorgeous, but they're super soft to the touch. It's already made my home feel cozier, which I need right now as I'm sitting in front of the AC trying to remain zen and not overheat this summer. So make your summer wardrobe feel easier. Go to quince.com/emotionallyonline for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada as well. That's quince.com/emotionallyonline for free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/emotionallyonline.
I think at the very least, there should just be more outlets for kids and teens to, like, have access to that isn't, like, the seedy underbelly of the World Wide Web.
Right.
You know?
I'm like, how do you... Yeah, I don't know how you prevent a lot of it.
Yeah.
But surely we can do more than we are.
Well, surely. And I think this is just a product of, like, the internet boom around the early 2000s, where there just never were restrictions put in or guidelines or anything like that.
Yeah. And
it's just only expanded in the past 26 years.
Yeah.
You know, it's become, we went from, like, people sending electronic mail in 1995 to now, like,
right,
you can have ChatGPT create a video of, like, Trump ripping Putin's head off and then him being like, America, and, like, right, eating a cheeseburger.
It's stupid.
Like, what have we become?
But it's like, there was, like, fucked up shit when we were younger, too.
For sure.
And, like, I think, fuck, what was it called?
All the, like, creepypasta stuff.
Or even, like, do you remember Tiny Chat?
Yeah, but barely. What the hell was that?
It was like, it was almost like a Zoom call, but it was a live stream. So you could have like 8 people on camera and anybody could join. So it was like people could be typing in the chat or they could be on camera and absolutely anyone could turn their camera on. And we would do them all the time. Like in like the YouTube space at the time, be like all the music video YouTubers would be like on camera together just chatting, and viewers would be watching, and occasionally these random people would join and just like terrorize the group,
right?
But we thought it was funny. I remember one time somebody came on and they farted into a lighter and it like, you know, had a little
something,
and we were all losing our minds laughing.
Yeah,
and it's like There's some part of those memories that is like charming and endearing to me now, like how truly lawless the internet was back then. Like there's some nostalgia there for me.
Yeah.
But I didn't feel that I was at risk in any of those scenarios. You know, it was just like almost like fart humor.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the masturbating stuff isn't. That's sincerely gross.
Right. That's assault. Unfortunately. Yeah, completely. But I do think certainly there can be more like laws put in place to like protect child labor.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like to protect children who are being exploited by their parents, specifically on social media. It's like, it feels just like a new wave of, you know, someone sending their 6-year-old to the coal mines and being like, well, if he dies, I've got 8 more. It's like, whoa, like maybe don't do that. Maybe don't constantly have a camera in your like 2-year-old son's face and also be putting your 2-year-old son's face on the internet for everyone to see all the time. You know, I don't know. I do think that that's like, to me, I'm like, that is just another kind of like branch of child stardom that has been
Well, I feel like kids under the age of 13 shouldn't be on the internet, period.
Yeah,
I think there's literally no reason for like elementary schoolers to have access to the internet at all.
Yeah, they should be on Kid Pics
completely.
Yeah,
like I just think it's there's nothing.
Kid Pics and Alpha Smarts.
I think teenagers is where it starts to get, there's a question mark for me.
Yeah.
But my question mark is there absolutely because I was a teenager that was very online.
Totally.
And it like impacted my life in insanely positive ways.
Yeah.
But it was also a different time. I don't know. Like when I was growing up, the internet was the only place I like really found community and like felt accepted.
Mm-hmm.
And to be in high school and to feel like you don't really fit in or don't have your place and then to find it on the internet was so meaningful to me.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's true for a lot of teenagers in like finding community online.
Yeah.
But under the age of 13, I can't think of a single solitary reason why the internet would be a place that you need to be.
No. I also, and I mean, I could be completely off about this, but it does kind of feel more like the internet is more of a monoculture now than it was even 15 years ago. And that those communities are still there, but are maybe harder to find.
I think they definitely are.
Yeah. And so like that, I think young people definitely are searching for community online. And I completely understand that because it's like, there's a way to connect to the entire world, like right in your pocket. Why wouldn't you use that?
Yeah.
That said, I think it's also just like, it's easier and it's also like more sinister for like a 16-year-old to just like go to ChatGPT and be like, I'm really sad. Can you help me?
Yeah.
Rather than turning to like forums for closeness and community,
which makes me feel ill.
It's really scary. It's scary to think about that kids have access to ChatGPT and that it has and will continue to influence like child suicide rates.
Yeah.
That's crazy to think about. So I don't know. I also think there's like a distinct difference between like a kid who's making YouTube videos mm-hmm. when they're like 13 and up versus someone who like achieves such massive global fame
completely
at like 16 and then their parents are like, how do we monetize this?
Right.
Ugh.
100%.
Hate that.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I think there's, it's like you were kind of working through a craft and for the D'Amelios, not saying it wasn't in part because of like their skill or talent, but TikTok is also just
up into something that's like a beast of its own. Like it starts as being, oh, Charlie loved to dance and everyone's dancing on TikTok. So now she is too. And it turns into like, okay. And now she's suddenly the most followed person on like the internet.
Yeah.
And she's 16 years old.
Yes.
What do we do?
Right. Yeah. Like, how do we wrangle this in any capacity?
Yeah.
It's a really difficult question. But it sounds like her parents didn't handle it well at all.
Yeah,
it sounds or with like, any sort of thoughtfulness.
It sounds like, yeah, they maybe just saw the money signs.
God, it's embarrassing.
Deeply embarrassing.
They should be embarrassed.
But in learning that he ran for Senate as a Republican.
Yeah.
Not surprising.
Capitalize off of that. We must make capital.
I need to talk about Ariana Grande. And this is a very delicate topic.
This is a very delicate topic.
And I would like to approach it with such.
Yes. Delicacy.
Caution. What I have to say is more about the discourse online and how other people are handling this kind of back and forth that's happening in the comment sections.
Yes.
And a little bit about Ariana herself.
Mm-hmm.
But it is really distressing to me to see in these comment sections how people are allergic to any kind of nuance or having like holding multiple things to be true at once.
Yeah.
Anyone can and does experience body critique, analysis from other people. Obviously, that's not something that's exclusive to celebrities.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, the suggestion that we don't comment on other people's bodies is a great standard most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
However, when people try to shut down the conversation about how Hollywood is shrinking before our eyes and it's scary and concerning, they try to shut down that conversation by saying we shouldn't comment on people's bodies.
Yeah.
Given all the additional context and understanding that we have, it really feels like turning a blind eye more than it does showing a kindness.
Yeah.
And I am kind of irritated at people's misunderstanding of what people meant when they said like, oh, you know, it's not nice to comment on people's bodies.
Yes.
Just generally don't be an asshole is what that sentence means.
Right.
And when you see someone visibly frail.
Yeah.
Ariana has always been thin.
Mm-hmm.
She has not always looked like this.
No.
There is cause for concern.
Yep.
And we can say that without it being like, and fuck her and she should die for what she's done. It's like, it's a mental illness. Eating disorders are mental illnesses.
Yeah.
I've had an eating disorder.
Yeah.
I feel very deeply for people that are struggling with their bodies in that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish that we as a culture had a better way to talk about it.
Yeah.
In a way that was both empathetic and also honest.
Yes.
Because it feels like people want you to pick one. It's either you choose the empathetic route or you choose the honest route, but you cannot do both.
Mm-hmm.
I disagree.
Yeah.
I think you can do both. And it frustrates me to see people in the comment sections not even try.
Yeah.
And just shut the conversation down entirely, which I think is vastly unhelpful.
Mm-hmm. It is. And I think it's people having like a fundamental, like you said, misunderstanding of where the phrase like don't comment on other people's bodies came from. That phrase originated as a response to systemic fat phobia.
Right.
And systemic fat phobia is a different beast entirely than talking about like any individual person.
Yeah.
It's completely different.
Totally.
I feel a lot of the time, because, you know, you'll see comments online about, you know, oh, skinny people get harangued too, and we get harassed for our bodies and things like that. I hear you. I understand. And skinny people are not at a systemic detriment, nor will they ever be, because of their body in the way that fat people are. At a macro level, fat people are disproportionately affected mm-hmm. because of the way that they look. You see that in the way that fat people are treated in the medical industry. You see that in the way that people are treated in business industries, and in the way that people are treated vis-a-vis like their social status. That does not happen for skinny people.
Yeah.
And so that, first of all, to me is a null and void comment, because it does not apply
yeah.
to this situation.
Totally.
On top of that, when we talk about not commenting on people's bodies, we are talking about the general public.
Right.
The everyday layman.
Right.
Not commenting on people's bodies doesn't really apply to people in the highest positions of socio and political power in the world.
Yeah.
That is a different thing entirely.
Completely.
Because these are people who have status and have global influence on culture. Mm-hmm. And they know that they do. And they, in fact, have every single resource to help themselves. And they are actively choosing not to, and are actively choosing to perpetuate harmful body standards to the greater culture around them.
Mm-hmm.
It is a completely different thing when we say, you know, don't comment on people's bodies. Don't comment on your coworker Deborah
right.
losing weight or gaining weight because she's just some random lady.
Right.
Ariana Grande is not some random lady.
She is one of the biggest celebrities in the world.
Demi Moore is not some random lady.
Yeah. These are people with an unfathomable amount of influence and power. The amount of eyes that are on them, the amount of like young girls that look up to them and mm-hmm. idolize them. It matters.
And it is, again, it's a complete difference between punching down.
Yeah.
Right. Talking, shitting on some random person that you see on the street because they're fat and you don't like that.
Yeah.
And talking about the genuine concern for the overall cultural influence of, again, one of the most powerful peoples in the world's choice that they are making.
I think it's like, I don't understand why people have a hard time holding multiple things mm-hmm. to be true at once. Mm-hmm. Like, I think it'd be really weird to not feel bad witnessing eating disorders be platformed on the world stage, seeing Ariana Grande go on a world tour as if she is not suffering.
Yeah.
And she's just continuing to perform and be this dancing monkey, and everyone has to just be like, everything's fine. She's fine. It's all normal.
Right.
And like, I think it's normal to have a reaction to that
mm-hmm.
and be like, oh, something's wrong here. And I don't like that we're just, you know, putting this up on stage for every young girl to witness and idolize. And we can hold that to be true while simultaneously understanding that what we're witnessing is a mental health crisis.
Yes.
And that anorexia specifically has the highest case mortality rate of any eating disorder.
Yes.
Those things can both be true at the same time.
Yes. You can have empathy for the individual while also critiquing the kind of macro influence that individual has on greater culture.
Right. I fear for what young girls are being taught.
Yes.
The same way that, like, when I look back at when we were young, mm-hmm. and there were very similar body image ideals when we were young in the early 2000s and 90s.
Yeah.
And I remember what all of the, my mom used to get Us and People magazines delivered to the house every mm-hmm. week. And so they were always in the bathroom at my house. And I was always reading them and seeing what they said. And the way they spoke about people's bodies and whose bodies they celebrated and whose they didn't. Mm-hmm. The amount of times that they tore Britney Spears to shreds for being like maybe a size 8.
Right.
And
oh my
god,
Jessica Simpson.
Insane.
They would call her like Porky Pig every single
absurd.
Week.
Absurd.
Yes.
And like that stuff stuck with me forever.
Yeah.
It has never left.
Yeah.
And I sometimes feel really confused about like people our age mm-hmm. who have like lived through an era like this before.
Yeah.
And hopefully had some kind of reflection and reckoning, or like you'd hope that people at this age, which again, we've talked about this before, about realizing that a lot of people don't reckon with their body image or their relationship to themselves at all.
Yeah.
But it's hard for me to understand that because I'm like, we've seen this before. We've had time to reckon with its impact on us mm-hmm. and what it did and what we had to work through as a result of what culture told us beauty was and what the value of thinness was.
Yes.
And now we're gonna watch it be given to more young women.
Yeah.
Does that not bother you?
Right.
Like I think about like 8-year-old girls right now and I want to cry.
Yeah.
I don't understand how people cannot be like devastated and scared mm-hmm. and just like, oh my god, I thought we were doing something better. Like, I thought that we were moving in a different direction, and now we're all the way back to where we were when we were kids.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, this is not the responsibility of Ariana Grande. This is a fall on her shoulders.
Right.
She's one example of a larger problem.
Right.
But it's hard not to notice it when she's one of the largest stars in the world. Her celebrity is massive.
Right. Well, it's scary to think about how someone like Ariana Grande, who theoretically has all the ability to get help that mm-hmm. she needs, is still being failed by the systems around her. That's a really scary thought.
Yeah.
That someone with that much power and that many people around her is still being failed by this system is terrifying.
And I honestly, I sometimes think that it's because there are a lot of people that still don't see eating disorders as being mental illnesses.
Yeah.
Because thinness is so celebrated mm-hmm. and upheld as being like such an achievement and an accomplishment and something that we celebrate and congratulate people on.
Yeah.
That people don't, there's like some disconnect in their brains where they're like, oh, this isn't a mental illness. This is something that we're going to give people their flowers for.
Right.
Like the amount of, so many people can relate to like the you know, when you lose a little bit of weight and people immediately congratulate you for it. Like it was the most incredible thing. And you could have lost that weight for any reason under the sun.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think people's inability to connect eating disorders with mental illness.
Mm-hmm.
Because of how we just like herald thinness as being the most important thing is a real detriment in this context.
Yes. Yes. And it's just, again, it's like, I think sometimes, you know, when we start talking about like the greater kind of cultural and socio impacts that these people have, people in the comments can be very quick to be like, you know, don't talk about Ariana that way. Don't talk about this one person that way, whatever. And I think to your point, it's like, that doesn't mean that we don't have empathy for her situation.
Yeah. I actually feel like a deep amount of empathy for her situation. I feel really sad for her.
Yes.
I think Ariana is in extremely talented person.
Yes.
And I love a lot of her music mm-hmm. and she has impacted me with her artistry over the years.
Yeah.
I think that she's someone who's been through a lot.
Yes.
And I think that she has, like, it makes me sad because I wish she was better supported.
Yes.
As someone who's carrying so much trauma and has been through so much
yeah.
that she never should have had to go through,
mm-hmm.
it makes me sad for her.
Yeah.
Because I imagine that all of these things are connected.
Mm-hmm.
Trauma and grief, it's hard.
Yeah.
It doesn't go away.
Yeah.
You carry that with you forever.
Yeah.
And she has gone through these things on the world's stage.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine what that does to a person
yeah.
and how that impacts someone's mental health.
Yeah. It's really scary. And like you said, and it's like we've been saying, it's like if she is failed by the support system around her, what does that mean for the hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of young women and young people who do not have the access that she does?
Yeah.
That's what's really scary, is like, alongside the fact that we are witnessing someone dying in front of our eyes, they are killing themselves in front of our eyes, they are also influencing
totally
young people to do the
same. It doesn't like erase the responsibility that she has just because she is clearly suffering
mm-hmm.
from something much larger.
Or erase the responsibility from her community around her.
Yeah.
That's also, that's the thing too, is it's like, it really does take a village to untangle these things in that have been hardwired into our brains. And it takes community
mm-hmm.
and a lot of like intentional rehabilitation in yeah. order to get out of this type of spiral. And yeah, I just fear for the young people that don't yeah. have that.
And I think we're in this very weird era of the internet where people, the word like acknowledgement comes up a lot where it's like, you need to acknowledge what you've done or what you've contributed. Or are you gonna take yeah. accountability
yeah.
for what you've done? And I think people will say things like this in connection to someone like Ariana Grande, and I think it's incredibly misguided.
Yeah.
I think that kind of energy is actually really unhelpful
mm-hmm.
because, again, I think there's something about treating a mental health crisis like it is, you need to stand up and apologize for what you've done. You're a bad person.
Yeah.
Apologize. Get on the podium and take responsibility, take accountability for what you've done.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like people want to punish people. And I don't know that that's like, I understand the anger because obviously I feel anger too.
Totally.
But I don't necessarily understand the desire to punish people for their suffering
mm-hmm.
rather than help them.
Yeah. It feels, ultimately what it feels is very puritanical.
Yeah.
It is a very puritanical and Western approach to shame.
Yeah.
And punishing people for their quote unquote sins.
Yeah.
Right. And trying to make them repent.
Yeah.
For the things that they've done.
Right.
And I don't think, because I think a lot of people who, you know, like, will argue for that and get really angry and righteous about that. A lot of them are young.
Yeah.
That's like a lot of the people that I will see are quite young, who are kind of calling for this, like, take accountability for what you've done and that sort of a thing. And I don't think that they realize that the origin of that, again, is very conservative and Puritan.
Yeah,
ultimately.
Yeah, it is. Sure.
It's ultimately it comes from that type of historical background. And I think that, like you said, is truly unhelpful, because all that does is further isolate someone in need of help.
Right.
And it's hard, like you said, to kind of toe this line between, again, this person who's in this immense position of power, who is also immensely suffering,
mm-hmm.
to understand the greater cultural influence that they have and critique that, while recognizing that shaming them for what they're doing is not going to fix their individual problem.
Yeah.
Right? I think, you know, when we talk about, like, the kind of pervasive trend that we're seeing in glorifying thinness. Whenever I'm talking about that, I'm not really talking about one individual person in Hollywood.
It's overall.
It's overall. It's
the general trend we're seeing across many of these actresses, musicians. Yeah. Everyone is shrinking.
Everyone is shrinking. And it's scary to see.
Yeah. I wish people would see these conversations as more of a call in versus a call out.
Completely.
And to understand there's like a compassionate way to talk about these things. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't have to be like this like shame spiral where you're making people feel worse or trying to make people feel bad and look at what they've done and feel horrible about themselves. Mm-hmm. It's like, I have no desire. I don't think we ever need to bring more shame into the world.
Right.
I have a desire to protect young girls.
Yeah.
And I also have a desire to protect Ariana.
Yeah. Like just women, period.
Right. I'm like,
period.
I think this is like, obviously the pressure to be thin and to be this like image of beauty is something that impacts everyone.
Yes.
There's no exceptions to, we all are influenced by this.
Yes. And
I completely understand and empathize with how someone like Ariana could be under an immense amount of that pressure, an unfathomable amount, paired with the trauma and grief that she's gone through in front of millions and how people have responded to that. The woman's been through enough.
Yeah. We don't need to put her through more.
No.
Yeah.
But it's upsetting because it appears as though she is going through more.
Mm-hmm.
And the internet is having a really hard time figuring out how to discuss that.
Yeah.
Without either ignoring it completely or being very cold.
Yes.
And just taking it more as like an opportunity to reprimand and to,
yeah,
I don't know. And sometimes I like haven't known how to navigate this topic publicly, mm-hmm. not because I don't know what I want to say.
Yeah.
But because I know what people will say in response to a fat woman having this conversation.
This is also,
which is like none of my business really. And at mm-hmm. the end, I know though, in my head, having been on the internet for so many years, I can anticipate what someone who like hates fat people is going to say.
Right.
When they hear a fat person talking about this.
Yeah.
Which I feel like nothing that we've said right now is particularly insane.
I don't think so.
I think that
we'll have to go back and watch the tape. We'll have to
go back and watch. But yep. I feel like we're having a very reasonable conversation. But I know that people will hear this coming from the mouth of a fat person and be like, oh, well, I'm worried about you.
Right.
And they'll like get defensive and try to turn it around as mm-hmm. if it's like a apples to apples kind of thing and not right. just like them being fat phobic for yes. no reason because they're fucking mad.
Right.
But I do think it's important to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think that, yeah, I really wish that the internet didn't see things as being so like binary.
Mm-hmm.
It's like thin to fat. And these experiences are complete mirrors of each other.
Right.
Just on the opposites. And it's right. like, that's not how life works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It is truly so much more complicated than that.
And it's, you're right. It's like, it's tough because it's like we have these conversations and as fat women on the internet, it can very quickly turn into like, oh, someone's trying to cope or like, you're just jealous, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, whoa, brother, this is not,
right.
this is not that at all. And I think then also just boils down to like them not seeing us as people outside of our fatness, right? Mm. It's like them just viewing us as this one trait and only seeing any perspective that we have as coming from that.
Yeah.
And I think you're right. It's like, it's a really hard line to toe as someone who is in a plus size body to talk about eating disorders in any regard, even though many people who are in plus size bodies either mm-hmm. have or are experiencing eating disorders.
Completely.
Just like anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
You know? And so like, but that's hard for people to acknowledge as well, that like a fat person can also be anorexic. A fat person can also be bulimic and speak to those experiences.
Yeah.
And it is, yeah, it's like, it's a difficult conversation to have online, and also, unfortunately, online is some of where these conversations really can only occur.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I'm just also afraid for the young people who are online and see comments like that. Cause it's hard for me as like an adult woman.
Totally. I'm like, I've been reading comments like that for 16 years and it's still hard for
me. We literally had that 2 weeks ago.
I know.
And it was hard for us, you know? And so to be someone young and easily influenced, it scares me. Scares me. And I think, unfortunately, Ariana Grande is one example of, again, this shift that we are seeing that is really frightening.
Yeah.
And we know that it's really frightening.
Mm-hmm.
And we have seen, and we are able to, like, scientifically back with evidence the trend and waves of, you know, skinny culture and how that influences young people's eating disorders and how that affects their mortality rates.
Yeah.
It's really frightening.
Deeply.
Deeply. I genuinely, like, hope that she is able to find, like, liberation from this.
Yeah, me too.
As well as all of the celebrities who are experiencing being on GLP-1s when they don't need to be or have any reason to be, or just starving themselves or are experiencing eating disorders in any way. Like, I genuinely wish for liberation for all of them.
Yeah.
In the meantime, I do think it is important that we critique when people in power choose to influence greater communities by making these choices.
For sure.
And going to extremes.
Yeah.
I feel similarly about the choices that celebrities make about plastic surgery.
So do I.
You know? I don't fault any one individual for getting plastic surgery. I do think as a collective, it's harmful.
I agree. Yeah. It's the internet's so frustrating.
The internet's crazy out there,
like,
girl.
These are conversations that I feel like all of us are having with our friends.
Yeah.
In our homes.
Yes.
And then when you try to take the conversation online, there are crazy people on there.
Oh, yeah.
That say crazy things. I'm like, what do these people want? Like, what's the... You don't want to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
What do you hope happens?
That's a really good question.
Like, what is your hopeful outcome for how you think you see things going? Or do you just not see it?
Right.
Are you just pretending none of it's happening? So?
Anyway.
What do we do?
What do we do? Where do we go from here?
Guys, what do we do?
What do we do now? Everyone get fat now.
Everyone get fat. Everyone just get fat. Guys, come on. We've been saying this.
You just know that there are going to be people in our fucking comments thinking that that's the thesis of what we just said for the past 30 minutes.
I know. There was people committed to misunderstanding everywhere, but...
Yeah.
I think the takeaway here, to me, is just like... You have to learn how to move through the world with compassion and empathy and honesty at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have to learn how to do all those things at once.
Let's not sweep things under the rug for the sake of niceties.
Yeah.
You know, that's also puritanical.
Mm-hmm. For sure. People are still going to turn that around on us, but
come on, guys. Come on, guys.
It's fine.
Guys, we're really tired, okay?
We're exhausted. But I think we were spitting bars throughout that whole section.
I agree. And if you disagree, you hate fat people.
And you can quote me on that.
Oh, we love you guys.
We do. We really do. We love you.
Thanks for listening. Mm-hmm. Merch is again linked in the description down below. Mm-hmm. If you'd like to keep this party going, I do the post show over on the Patreon every week.
Yeah.
You can follow the podcast at Emotionally Online Pod. You can follow me at Maddie Drosbeck.
You can follow me at Meg Ruoco.
And I'll see you next week. Bye.